Thanks for listening to the podcast from Gary Combs and the preaching team at Wilson Community Church in Wilson, North Carolina. Check us out on the web at wccnc.org for more. And now, here's the sermon.
Morning, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. If you are new to the church, or if you're watching online, if you're streaming, or I think they're recording this one, so if you're online, get your Dramamine ready, because we're going for a ride, y'all. Everybody's going to be dizzy. I'm not the normal pastor here, if you don't know that. Pastor Gary, he's out, so I got tagged in. I'm happy to spell him. I'm blessed enough to get to come to you today, the first Sunday after Thanksgiving. We just finished up the midway point of our Rise Up campaign. We just finished up a series about that. Next week, we're going to start a series called Christmas Lights. So this week, they were like, so you just get to freestyle. You just get to do whatever you want. Like, y'all don't want to give me that kind of freedom. But luckily, we're coming right after Thanksgiving, so it sort of seemed like this should be a Thanksgiving service, right? This year's been a weird one, though. Just quick show of hands. Did anybody have a Thanksgiving that was completely different than anything they've experienced before? Yeah, a lot of us. I did, too. We didn't get together with family this year. It's been a strange year. That is certainly true, but I think we have, in America, we have an uncanny ability to overlook the fact that this has been a strange year, whereas in other countries, there are year in and year out people dealing with starvation and pandemics and epidemics. I guess it's an epidemic if it doesn't happen to us. And they're shooting at each other and they're bombing each other. And so we've gotten... Let ourselves get really down because this has been a weird year for us, and maybe we've forgotten that it's a weird year for us, not just another year still dealing with all this crazy stuff. We also in America have an incredible ability to access the internet, and so that gives us access to internet memes, which are everybody's favorite, right? And so this year has been a chaos, so we've got quite a few of them. So I'm going to run through a couple of the better ones of the year. Me being prepared for 2020, arrow in the eyeball. Meteor attacking Earth, spaceship attacking Earth. Oh, I'm sorry, were you next? I don't know, after you. If 2020 was a drink, what would it be? Colonoscopy prep. Not funny, I'm almost 40. News anchors every day since January 2020. Tonight at 11, doom. If 2020 was a bag of chips, it'd be orange juice and toothpaste. Who are you? The worst month of 2020. Do you have any idea how little that narrows it down? 2020 is a unique leap year. It has 29 days in February, 300 days in March, and 5 years in April. Yesterday marked the beginning of an above normal hurricane season. That's another one for the apocalypse bingo. Anybody play apocalypse bingo this year? Feels like it, right? This year's been crazy. This year, above all years, though, we need to be intentional about being thankful. It's very easy to let the world out there at large weigh us down, say, oh, it ruined Thanksgiving. Did it? Because I got to have Thanksgiving. That was a gift God gave me. He gave me a day of life. He gave me food. Plus, I didn't have to eat somebody else's nasty turkey. Not that... My brother-in-law actually makes an incredible turkey. I just hate turkey. Like, turkey's the worst. For real. Like, let's be honest. All right, for a second. This is not biblical. If Thanksgiving food was so great, wouldn't we eat it in February? Like, why only at Thanksgiving do we eat all this nasty food and say, like, oh, it's the best time because we get to eat this gross food? No, pizza is great because we eat it in, like, on a Monday. That's my soapbox. I'm going to get off my soapbox now. But it's very easy, especially when the world is coming at you, to forget that we've got a lot to be thankful for. And if you can't think of anything in particular, I've got one for you. I'm never afraid because nothing on this earth can ever overcome the power that I hold on to. God created this universe. There is nothing in this universe that is greater than Him. So no matter what is going on in my life, I've got God. And that's a reason to celebrate. That's a reason to be thankful. In Psalm 9, David chose how he was going to worship God. In every single circumstance, he worships God. We also get to choose to worship God in every single circumstance. How can we do that? That's the tricky part. That's what we're going to deal with today. David's going to help us out. Psalm 9, verse 1 and 2. It's quite short. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. In a lot of cases, prepping a sermon, you have to do a lot of dissection and a lot of cross-referencing and figure out what's God trying to tell us here. This is pretty simple. He's got four sentences. Each one of us tells us something. Each one of them starts with, I will. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to go a sentence at a time. We're going to go through all four points that he makes, I will statements that he makes. It is four. Today in the first service, I panicked somebody because I was on the third point with like in 20 minutes in. They're like, oh man, this is going to be too short. Don't worry, I'll go long. The first point, I will give thanks to the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord. I like that word will, if you just change the inflection a little bit, it changes kind of what it means. I will give thanks to the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord. That's very emphatic. That's a decision to be made. I won't just accidentally do it. It's not force of habit. I will do it. I like that interpretation of that word. I will give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks is just, I mean, it's pretty simple, right? This whole, I don't get a lot of kind of fun words to play with in this one, so I'm going to infuse some of my own. But for now, just give thanks. We all understand gratitude. You understand, we teach our children very young, say please, can I please have a cookie? Yes. Now say thank you. Hey, wait, come back here, heathen, you have to say thank you, right? Give thanks. We're taught that very early. We teach our children that very early. But I forget to do it as a grown-up. I remember to do it at like the cash register when they hand me my receipt and I say thank you for the receipt. I sometimes forget to thank God for my health. It's a natural thing to do, but let's be intentional about it. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. My whole heart. That's an important part of this sentence because it removes the possibility of halfway doing it or, you know, begrudgingly doing it. Oh, thank you. All right. That's not gratitude. If you hold part of it back, if you're kind of grumpy about it, it's not gratitude. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. To all generations. We are able to give thanks to a God who's not going to go away. And so we can be sure that our thanks is worth it. It's to all generations. In Colossians 2, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. The thanks doesn't come from me being thankful. The thanks comes from the abundance of blessing that I've received. It's because of God I can be thankful. So I will be thankful. I teach my little girl, I teach her to pray. I kind of accidentally taught her to pray, which is, I guess, a good thing because I just pray around her a lot. And I never really sat her down to tell her how to pray. The way I pray, in case you have never noticed, now you'll start to notice and hopefully it won't be distracting, but I pray, I wasn't sure how to pray when I was a young Christian, and so I was like, I wish there was just instructions in here on how to pray. And then I found that there are. There's a little spot where he's like, and when you pray, pray like this. And so I thought, oh, okay, that's how I'll pray then. And so my prayer is just sort of built on parallel of that particular piece of scripture. And so I started teaching my daughter to pray accidentally because I pray. And then so now when I hear her pray, she prays like me. And one of the things that I always do, I started doing it in Africa, was I always say thank you for today at the beginning of it. I'm always grateful for another day. And if you ever hear me do it, just understand that it's not a throwaway. It's not like me trying to get in the rhythm of prayer or whatever. Every time I say it, I am grateful for another day. And so I noticed my daughter was doing the same thing, where she would say, thank you for today, and she had these like four things that she started every single prayer with. And so I heard her do it a couple of times, and then I kind of heard the rhythm start, and I just heard like, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and she just hit all, and they all kind of had the same rhythm. And so I asked her, I was like, what are the things you pray at the beginning of your prayer? What are those? And then she said the words again, and I was like, what does that mean? Do you think about it before you pray, or is that just you sort of ramping into your real prayer? She's like, yeah, it's just what I say before I get to the prayer. I was like, stop doing that. If you're not actually thankful for it, don't say thank you. Or the other side of it is figure out if you're actually thankful for it. And so that's sort of how I've taught her to pray. It's a mindset of, first and foremost, be thankful. Just be grateful for whatever it is. I always say today, but maybe it's different in everybody's life what they have to be grateful for. But what doesn't change is that I am grateful for today, even if the day was kind of crummy. Even if I was sick today, or even if, you know, got some bad news today, or whatever it is. So when we go forward in our life, let's take some time to remember and just say, actually right now, just kind of in your own mind, if you're in a good headspace, it's a good time to make a declaration that, like, I will be thankful. Later on, I'm going to forget. So right now, I'm going to make a mental note. I will be thankful. Would you do that? Point two. I will remember the work of the Lord. The text says, I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. Recount. Pretty simple. Just remember. I'll go back to them. Just because they're over doesn't mean I'll stop thinking about them. So this is an easy way to, if you're in a bad headspace, I do this. This is a trick that I use. If I'm just frazzled and grumpy and I can't, the anxiety is too much and I can't, I take a moment and just think about the good things and it recenters me. If I can't be thankful yet, what I can do is remember. So right now, I'm in, you know, life's crazy, and the house is crazy, and, you know, my door just fell down. I don't know why that's a thing. My door just fell down. Why not? And I can't be thankful for any of this because, you know, it's just all crazy. It's too crazy. But if I take a moment and remember my family's healthy, remember the blessings I've been given, it helps me to calm down and center, and then I find I can give thanks. I will remember the work of the Lord. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. All your wonderful deeds. Wonderful deeds is a great way to say this. Anything God does for us is incredible. It's spectacular, just by the definition of God being who God is. And so if you're in a moment and you can't think of, look, there's nothing good in my life. There's nothing. My life's been a struggle the whole time. I got nothing to look back and be and to remember in a good way. How about this one? There was a time when God chose to sacrifice his son. There was a time in my life when I was a miserable creature, when I was broken. And at that point, God looked at me and said, this one's beautiful too. I love this one too. I'm going to sacrifice for him. I can't think of a more spectacular gift than eternity. 2020 seems like it's been very long, maybe. And we maybe think 70, 80, 90, 100 years is a long time. Measured against eternity, it's nothing. And so as we're going through these sort of tricky times, just remember, on the other side of this is glory. There's a gift waiting for you. This stuff that happens on earth, this is not the reward. None of this is the reward. This is just the journey. The reward's waiting. The reward is eternity with God. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. This world is full of shifting shadows. This world is full of things changing, and you think you got a handle on it, and then suddenly you don't got a handle on it. I'm part of the gym circuit around here, and I know like a bunch of people that own gyms, and in February they were doing great, and in May they were selling all their equipment. I heard a report last week. I was listening to the radio, and the final numbers were coming out for the RDU airport, and they were putting all their year-end report together, and they said 51 million travelers flew out of RDU last year. 5 million have flown out of RDU this year, and 2.5 million of that was before March. These companies, these massive companies, they had it put together. Record numbers, this great empire, 1 year later, shifting shadows. The world has changed. That's a hard place to live because you can never be sure. But with God, there are no shifting shadows. There is no change. God was the same when He created time as He will be when He balls time up and throws it in the trash can. He's the same God then as He will ever be. He's not shifting. He doesn't get angry at us and throw bad stuff into our life. Oh, now I'm, I was a terrible teenager, and now I'm, God's punishing me for the things I did. Not how God works. Not at all how God works. God never gets angry at us and throws chaos into our life. There is chaos in our life. We overcome that, but it's not a punishment for what I've done. God never gets mad at me. He can't get mad at me. He loves me too much. Philippians 4. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What is it in your life that is worthy of praise? Whatever it is, it was a gift from God. Anything. One of the things that I have noticed is that I'm married. Or who all is married in here? We got a lot of married couples. Okay. Is there anybody that intends to get married one day that's not married yet but intends to get married one day? Okay. I like that somebody in the back got their hand raised for them. So one of the things that you will find if you're in a marriage, you know this, if you are going into a marriage, go ahead and write this part down because you're going to need it, is you have to remember the good parts of the other person in the shady parts. My wife is a beautiful, incredible human, as is evidenced from the fact that I am still alive. Like, she has somehow managed to navigate. We were coming up on 20 years of being married, which is insane to me. She somehow managed to navigate half my life without ending it yet. I have no idea how she's done this. She's very neat. She's very orderly. She, like, the world, everything has a place where it needs to be, and it should be there. And I am just a bag of chaos. Everything is everywhere. I don't care. She's just like, how did you not do the dishes or whatever? I'm just like, I didn't even know we had dishes, honestly. It never occurred to me that we even own dishes. And in those moments, she has a thing that she does that is 90% of the time she means it. When she goes, I love you, but clean that mess up. She always prefaces it in that moment of just like, in this moment of, I want to punch you, but instead, 80% of me is a mess, But in the 80%, she remembers the 20% of me that's worth it, and she chooses me again. If you're in a marriage and all you focus on is the negative of the other person, it's a miserable experience. But when the negative of the other person is around, if you focus on the positives, it completely changes the relationship. The same thing is true with God. The same thing is true with our relationship with life in general. When the bad stuff is happening, look to the good stuff. Find the good stuff. Point three, I will find my joy in the Lord. I will find my joy in the Lord. The verse says, I will be glad and exult in you. Again, I want to point out, it starts with I will. Let's make that an instruction to ourselves. I will be glad and exult in you. Glad and exult are kind of the same word. In fact, the New Living Translation translates it. It just sort of compacts it into one thing. So it says, I will be filled with joy because of you. That's how they translate it. So those two words are sort of synonymous. Exult is a weird word we don't use much. Be glad is a word we can understand. So I challenge you, bonus extra credit points, if in your life now you start using exult, if you tell people to exult instead of like, well, be happy, tell them to exult. See how many friends you still have at the end of that. That seems like a thing that people would just be like, oh, you got to stop doing that. That word makes no sense. Makes me want to punch your mouth. Joy is difficult to find in humanity. We've sort of programmed ourselves to react more to the negative than to embrace the positive. I find this to be a mostly true statement. There are always exceptions to the rule, and if you're one of the people who has managed to not sort of program yourself to get in the negative and get sort of stuck there, or to at least give it more focus in your life than the positive, good for you, but you're in the minority. Most people, they sort of get stuck in the stuff that they got to fix. They got to deal with stuff, which is a good thing to be able to fix things and deal with them, but don't forget in those moments, there's good stuff too. Do you know the word capricious? Capricious is a word that basically means like a person who is sort of like, their mood just changes all the time. Like, it's just, you never know what's happening. If you have a boss that like should be on like some kind of medication and is not, you know what I'm talking about. It's a moment of just like walking into work like this, just like hoping. And then you hear, you know, boss laughing and just like, whew, it's at least going to be a good hour or two. By lunch, it might be a mess again. Or if you're around people that are like that, where, you know, maybe you've got a friend who is just like, ha ha ha, everything's, oh, it's terrible, right? And you never really know the next turn, when it's going to happen and what's going to happen. So that's the word capricious. So the opposite of that is God. God doesn't do that. He doesn't shift. He doesn't change. There are no shifting shadows as there are on earth, as with people. God doesn't change like that. God is a constant. He is exactly what he was, and he'll always be that. And so we don't have to worry about tomorrow I wake up and now God's mad at me. We don't have to worry about that. And so I can find my joy in that. And I can't make God so angry at me that he kicks me out. Psalm 16, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. As you're going through whatever it is you're ever going through, just remember the path of life has been made available to us through Jesus Christ. And we know that that leads to fullness of joy in his presence, pleasures forevermore at his right hand. That's an incredible promise that we've been given. Psalm 4, this one comes with a bit of a disclaimer. So Psalm 4, this is a weird translation, and I when I read it the first time, I thought there was a typo in it. And then I thought there were a bunch of typos. And then I thought, so Jonathan Combs, pastor of the Eastgate campus in Rocky Mount, he prepped the sermon notes here. And he likes, there's a book called The Message, which if you don't know what it is, Google it. It's kind of complicated to explain, but it's not really a translation of the Bible, but it's like a, I don't know, you have to Google it if you really care. But what it does is it does word things really bizarrely, and he loves it because he is also a creature of chaos. And so whenever we're prepping this stuff, he loves to bring this thing in, and he always will tell us what the message says about it because he thinks it's hilarious. And then suddenly I figured out that the message had made it into my notes, and so now I have to say these crazy words. But I couldn't make them make sense until my stepmom is Cajun, and so I heard it in a Cajun accent as I was reading it, and then somehow it suddenly started to make a lot more sense. And so I'm going to attempt a really, it's going to be a terrible, I've never attempted, well, I attempted it once earlier, a Cajun accent in the first service. I'm going to try it again. So here we go. You ready? So this is this mess right here. It's like, why is everyone hungry for more? More, more, they say. More, more. I have God's more than enough. More joy in one ordinary day than they have in all their shopping sprees. At day's end, I'm ready for sound sleep, for you, God, have put my life back together. That sounds more right, than if I just try to do it in my normal old southern accent. So for those of you who don't speak Creole, it goes something like this. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and their new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That's a beautiful way to say that. The simplest way, I think, to boil that thought down is to say, they have much, but I have God. There is nothing that other people have as abundant as it is. The top 10 most powerful, most influential, richest people in the world, I wouldn't trade a day of my life for theirs. I don't care how much abundance they have, how much excess they have, how big their house is, how many they have, I got God. I'm not making that trade with anybody. Not even for a little bit of time. Where do you find your joy in life? If you find your joy in life in worldly things, the world is a world of shifting shadows. Those things can go away very quickly, and we have terribly compelling evidence over the last few months that sometimes it's nothing you did wrong to lose them. It's just the shadows of the world shifted and the things that you were doing suddenly don't work anymore, or the whole context changed and you weren't ready for what came because you couldn't have possibly seen it coming, and now you're selling your gym equipment. Now you're selling your airplanes, laying off whoever you got to lay off, closing your business, or whatever it is. If you find your joy in the people around you, that's great, as long as they're around you. If it's in your children, they're going to go away to school. Then what? But if we find our joy in God, nothing can take that away from me. And I never give it away. Fourth point. I will sing praises to the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord. Text says, I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. O Most High, all capital letters, name of God. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Sing praise. It's pretty simple, but I do want to get into it a little bit. Because I have this idea, this is not biblical, this is not theological, this is just something I just completely made up, but it seems right to me, and so I'll pose it to you, and maybe you can disagree with me or agree with me, is that I think that music is the language of heaven. I think in heaven people speak music. I don't know that we will have, like, noun and verb agreements and conjugation and direct object and all this sort of like grammatic stuff. I think that it just is music. Because when I listen to Beethoven, it moves me. There's no words for me to understand what's going on. There's nothing that I can grab into to identify with. And yet, I cry. In movies, if you ever watch movies, hopefully I don't destroy the illusion of movies for you, but if there's ever a sad moment, the music's controlling that moment for you. Or if there's a big fight, bum, bum, ba, da, 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 right, the music, it's never like twinkly piano when like lightsabers are going off. That's on purpose. It's because music moves us. So when I sing praise, it's a very visceral thing. When I'm up here singing sometimes, I've been told, apparently, rumor has it, that sometimes I get a little excited. I don't think so. I had never seen the video footage. But I've been told this. Sometimes people are afraid I'm going to knock them off the stage. I have yet to do that. However, if you'll notice, I'm generally not up here if there's a bunch of people because they're afraid I will collapse the stage. But it's because I get excited, man. Like, I start singing and I can't help it. Like, I'm singing to the creator of the universe, of all existence. I'm singing to the creator of all things and the sustainer of all things. And he cares. Like, he's listening to me sing. That's, to me, insane. And then it, like, starts to fuel me up and I start to get maybe a little weird. I'm fine with being weird. My daughter once asked me, she went to school, this is back when kids actually used to get to be around each other, and she said, some of the kids at school say I'm weird, and I was like, you are. Good job. Be weird. Weird rules the world, man. But it's because I get so excited, and I think it's the music that is that connection. So if you pray, that's good. Try singing, even if you can't sing. My daughter sometimes sings songs to me. She's way off key. I still think it's pretty. God doesn't need you to have a great voice. He needs you to love him enough to sing. I will sing to your name. It's not just singing happiness songs out into the world to try to, you know, add happy vibes to the world. It's not that. I will sing to you specifically. I will sing to your name. It's specific. One of the really cool things that happens in... So I was in the mission field in Africa, if you don't know... Long story super short, just to give you some context. One of the things that they have is they have a lot of churches there. Most of them are not this big. Most of them are probably more like the size of this stage. Some of them are maybe about half the size of this theater, and then there's one that's about the size of this theater. And so when you go in, they start packing people in. They have chairs, but eventually they just start packing people in the aisles and down front, and then there's sometimes the kids are sitting up on the actual like podium area. Like they just jam. Fire marshals would go nuts in this place. Like, it would just be a mess. They'd be like, this is absolutely, there's one door into this place. This is crazy. But so they just jam all the people in here. And then so their structure is similar to ours, where they come in, they do praise and worship, and then they learn Bible stuff, and then they do praise and worship. It's kind of the same idea. It's like 10 hours long instead of an hour long, but it's the same concept. And so sometimes what will happen is the pastor or preacher will be preaching, and then they have rainy season there, and go figure, at rainy season it rains. And so they'll start preaching, and then it'll start to rain. But what happens is that they've got tin roofs with no, like, space between the roof. It's just a piece of tin over your head. And so then the rain starts tink, 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 tink. And then the rain comes, and suddenly you've got just this, like, army of raindrops drumming on the roof, and all you hear is, you just hear this noise. And so the preacher, the pastor, they'll be speaking, and then they'll get louder and louder and louder until eventually it overcomes them. And then what they do is they just look over at this little girl, little boy sitting over here, and they just kind of nod at them. And then you hear, boom, 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 and they got this drum. And then all of a sudden somebody will start singing. And then however long the rain goes, that's how long they're singing. And by the end of it, there's kids up on the stage, and they're like jumping and dancing, and they have these crazy dances where they just like see how high they can jump. I have no idea how they have that much energy. And this is coming from me, y'all. I'm like, I'm exhausted watching these people worship. They're singing, and the whole place is going crazy. And as long as the storm is raging outside, they're praising. That, to me, is an incredible metaphor. And so I put that into place in my life. As long as the storm is raging outside, I'm praising. I will praise your name, Lord. I am not afraid. This building may blow down. I can't control that, but I can control. I will praise you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. You remember in the middle of Acts, Paul and Silas, they end up in prison. And the doors fly open. And instead of running, they just sing God's praises. That's crazy to me, but I understand it. I will sing praises to the Lord. C.S. Lewis has a really great quote. Praise is inner health made audible. Praise is inner health made audible. I am so happy. I'm so thankful that noise has to come out of my face. That's how I want to live. I'll do that by singing praise to your name, O Most High. I will worship you in every circumstance. I will give thanks to you. I will remember your work. I will find my joy in you. I will sing your praises. I want to read back through the psalm one more time and just take inventory in your own mind, in your own life. If there are any of these that you're good at, or if there are any of these that you don't do quite as much, just take an inventory. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Do any of those speak to you? Let them inform you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for this place. Thank you for the love that you've given us. Thank you for the assurance that you've given us. Thank you for being a God that's worthy of being praised. Thank you for being a God that demands being praised. You are incredible. You were outside of all things. You were beyond my ability to understand. And even in that, you love me. Thank you. Thank you for loving me that way. If you're out there and you're hearing these words and you don't think they apply to you, if you say, oh, this is a great message, but I don't have that God to hold on to, I've got great news for you. Yeah, you do. You do. The sacrifice has already been made for you. You can't be broken enough that God hasn't already fixed you. Not just he has the ability to fix you. He's already bought and paid for you, broken just like you are right now. All you got to do is accept that gift. Say, God, I'm broken. I'm a sinner. I don't live for you. But I know that you bought and paid for me through your sacrifice of your son. I accept that sacrifice and I give everything back to you. If you pray that, welcome to the family. You are no longer in a world of shifting shadows. You are now in a world of steadfast righteousness and anchored to the Creator of all things. If you're here or hearing my voice because you've been living in fear, because you just can't take the anxiety of this year anymore, if you've lost people, if you're afraid you're going to lose people, and you just can't be thankful for this year right now, I got great news. Yeah, you can. Because you've gotten another year to be thankful. God has not left you. God has not moved away from you. God has not forgotten you. God is right there. He's not just holding your hand. He's holding you in His hands. He loves you. You can be thankful to the Creator of all things. You can sing praise to the Creator of all things. You are not alone. Whoever you are not alone. And maybe if you're a Christian who started to doubt that, if you feel like God has moved away, then I would ask, how on earth did you manage to move God? Is it not more possible? Maybe you've moved away. And if that's you right now, Father God, I feel distant from you, and I know you haven't left me. I'm sorry for moving in my own direction. I want to come back. I want to come back to you. I want to come back to your family. I've got good news for you. He's waiting with open arms. He loves you. Father God, thank you for this place. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak your words. Help us to go out of here full of hope and thanksgiving. Help us to go out of here and sing praises to your name. We love you very much. Amen.